And so in this in this funny session about wordlessness, that into which I have tossed so many words already, I want to bring a couple things in at the beginning and then drop us into meditation. And the first thing, I love it when you just open a favorite old text and something offers itself. And this is from The Art of Contemplation by Ellen Watts, which I came across kind of by accident. It's in his own, you know, it's handwritten and really lovely. And on this page, he's says this. As a rule, the mystics and gurus who are no longer seeking any attainment go on with what appears to be the formal practices of meditation. The various Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are usually depicted in the position of meditating in the Padmasana or lotus posture like any novice. But this is actually a ritual which is done for its own sake. As one might play the flute or dance or invite friends to a formal dinner. It is almost ridiculous to ask why meditate as if it were going out of one's way to do something bizarre like lying on a bed of nails. Why look at the stars? Why watch clouds? Why go sailing to no fixed destination? Nothing is really explained by its cause or motivation. For we find only causes behind causes until we can pursue them no longer. It's like a child asking, why, until its father, like a Zen master, says, oh, shut up and suck your lollipop. So we will shut up and suck our lollipops for a little while. So that's one thing. And then I also want to give you this quote from David Hinton's new book, China Root, which is what we will use as the basis for our, instead of a sutra study series in January and into February, we'll be taking this as a starting place and bringing our koans, bringing our experience into it. So here's a little quote from the introduction about words. A word about words. Taoist and Chan masters from the beginning insisted at every turn that words are the fundamental impediment to deep insight. Some of you will remember in the Lankavatara Sutra how much space is dedicated to that. Looking at words. Words, thoughts, ideas, they serve a practical function, an evolutionary purpose. They intend to get us somewhere, to work toward understanding, solve a problem, make a plan, all in the project of navigating the world and surviving. I think I would argue with that a little bit too. Because they also are a celebration of what we make as human beings. And we do get to play with that, but never mind. Chan, he says, is useless. It wants to go nowhere else, solve no problem. It wants no words and no understanding, not least no understanding of Chan itself. Chan teaching always deploys words to tease mind past the realm of words. Meditation and Sangha case or koans are still more radical and direct strategies for dismantling that realm of words. dismantling that realm of words, thereby returning mind to its original empty nature. And that, so that it struck me so much that that's really what I think we're doing here. You know, that's what I hope we're doing here. To take a little time with these words in order to let them unravel themselves for us and drop us into the place where we are held by, the place that we are held by, this place. And then finally, this quote that popped up from Jimmy Carter. What are the things you can't see that are important? I would say justice, truth, humility, service, compassion, love. You can't see any of those, but they're the guiding lights of a life. And I thought, how interesting that he speaks that way. We would say, oh, those are concepts. That's conceptual thinking. And yet you can tell that as he says them, those are the expressions of his heart. And so not to get all snooty about more Western ways of thinking about this, but we'll engage in this Chan way. So we'll set aside words for a bit and sit. And so I'm going to call out for us to all you wordless ones. You hold us and we forget that to be wordless is the way to join you and the ceremony of Thanksgiving. Leon Pong said, this is the place where the sons and daughters of Buddha come to practice the doing of nothing. This place. Here, where you are. What is it like here? What deep resting is here? last night and today, a great wind has been in this place, rattling the vines against my house all night and dislodging anything that didn't have enough gravity to stay put. And the breath of our meditation can be sweeping like that when we put down what is heavy and let that rest and let the great wind of our breath blow away the rest. And in a way, it can blow away our striving to see also. So just settling here, allowing everything to come to us. To be tender and close in. We can practice not seeing. Just let go of seeing or needing a name or needing to name things. Just breathing, it's not too hard to let go of that. Like Hakuin's comment, just exclude non-entry. Right now, there's nothing you have to see. What's here is right close under your robe, intimate. right now when there's no seeing. And also no not seeing. The shimmer of energetic gifting, unimaginable inside my 3.7 trillion cells. Going on is that different than the shimmering dance of energies outside of what I call myself? Right now, is there anything that must be seen? It's not that there is nothing to be done or to be seen so much, but that this, at this moment, nothing must be done. And so this is a celebration. Of the wonderful joke of all of this not doing. how enormous it is. And we sitting essential to the non-doing. Without lifting a finger. Maybe I don't understand because there is no under to stand on. Let's try something. Unmute yourself, if you would. And we're going to do a sound meditation with Ho. So it doesn't matter that we don't coincide because there's no coinciding to be done. I'll just start Ho and we'll just do that for a while. So just go with your own breath, and we'll just do it, do Ho until it dies out on its own. Ho. 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 In your own rhythm, so there's no starting and stopping, just come in whenever you. Go. Huh, I have an echo and I'm not sure why. Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah, okay. I think a couple of you had dreams, but it feels right before we even go into that to just invite you to drop a couple words, you know, 3-4 words into the group about what your experience of this exploration is like right now. What are you noticing?
Rattling. Still.
Space.
Shoes breaking from power lines.
Sweetness. Rooted. Weather.
Vibration.
Peter.
Try that again so we can hear each voice.
I said Peter Pan.
Okay.
A half dream.
So maybe I'll just say the koan in its couple of ways, and then And let's just sort of see where it goes from there. And I think I want to do it kind of backwards because in the commentary in one place is that statement, true vision is your essential nature. So when we're talking about not seeing, why are we talking about true vision? And it feels important to me in several ways. One is that this is core, you know, for us. It's asking about what's your actual experience of being alive right now in your life. And it reaches into not only the territory of what we think is real, what we experience as real, but also out into the territory of relationships. What is it like when we are curious, deeply curious, because we depend on each other, deeply curious about our seeing and our not seeing? What does it have to do with not doing harm, with doing good for others? So it just feels to me so much at the connecting place of those two, at the root of the vows. And it's not a place of shaking fingers, you know. And that's why I love that commentary that I brought in from the Booth Cliff Record case too. You know, when the thoughts in your skull are used up, you know, when you let yourself be, somebody say rattled, when you let yourself be rattled around by this, until that just tires itself out. The thoughts in your skull are used up. Why does joy remain? It's such a great question. It's not asking, does joy remain? Because we know it does. That's our actual experience. Why does joy remain? Dragon murmurings in the dried up tree aren't used up. What is it that's never used up? Right now, I think we'd like to know. I feel like, oh yeah, tell me what's not used up at the moment, please. And so, and that, how does that connect with what you are and how you are in this world? So the Khan says, And I'm going to do the several translations because I think they just become one in a way. I hope that's true for you as well. And yet they have their different aspects. So when I don't see, why don't I see the place of my not seeing? If I see the not seeing, then naturally, it's not an image that's going unseen. If I do not see the realm of my not seeing, then naturally this is not a something. Why isn't it you? And there's a little logical corollary there that we didn't really talk about last time, which is when we say, then naturally this is not a something, why isn't it you? I think there's an assumption under there that you are not a something also, right? and that's fairly large. So here's another translation. When we don't see, why can't we see the world of not seeing? If we see the not seeing, it's no longer not seeing. If we can't see the not seeing or the appearance of not seeing, that's not the world of objects. Why isn't it you? Hakuin points out, because it's not a thing, it must be your own awakened mind. We might notice that we might have a habit of thinking of our mind as a thing. Especially we have a habit in the West of thinking of the mind as a thing that's, you know, contained in this bony cup. Because it's not a thing, it must be your own awakened mind. Not like the mind you imagine after you become awakened, but the one you've already got, right? The realm that is not a thing is your true vision. The realm that is not a thing is your true vision. And this is maybe not so hard, just sitting here over the last half an hour doesn't seem like it's so hard. And in fact, if that's what rests, if that's where we rest all the time, I was going to say, if that's what we rest on, which is interesting because it's not a thing, right? if that's the realm in which we are all the time, as in from countless eons, no being has ever fallen out of the deep samadhi of the universe. Yeah. That's the message, says Hakuin. So then a third translation, when I don't see, why don't you see my not seeing? If you see my not seeing, that's not not seeing. If you don't see it naturally, it's not a thing. So it's not so different. But I love the, how could it not be you? To me, there's just this enormous tenderness in that. How could it not be you? I feel the you, you know, sitting right next to me. You know. And so Denke comments, then, of all the myriad things, none is not you. You are you, I am I. One can only know oneself, that's what this means. So that's a lot already. So just so that we sort of have the same words in our ears, I hope I've left enough space for you to bring your thoughts forward.